A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This episode of Believe is brought to you by Cryptid Coffee Co. Use promo code BELIEVE on checkout for 10% off their Angry Yowie coffee blend. Head over to cryptid.com.au to check them out.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling, I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, like you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get was a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Cade Moyer, and you are listening to the Believe Paranormal and UFO Podcast. If you have had an encounter and would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. If you enjoy the podcast, be sure to leave us a rating or review wherever you listen and head on over to our website, believepod.com, and consider becoming a member to get bonus episodes and video content. Tonight I'm joined by Lewis, and Lewis had an encounter with a Minbin light out in Western Queensland. Lewis, welcome to the show, mate.
Thanks, Cade. Yeah, thanks for having me on, mate.
It's cool to have you on, man. I really like Minbin encounters because not a lot of people really come forward to talk about them. So I'm actually really excited. And because you're Indigenous, you're going to give us this really unique aspect to that kind of lore when it comes to it. So I'm really, really intrigued to hear about this because the Minbin light is such a classic Australian only trope when it comes to the weird and the paranormal. So I'm really keen to kind of hear about it. So are you able to take us back to when this all happened to you?
Yeah, mate. So first of all, you know, just to get a bit of background on myself, my Indigenous heritage, I more so identify with my Torres Strait Islander family. But my grandfather's country is in Charleville, which is located about 2 hours from where this encounter was. So, you know, growing up, I heard a lot about these stories. My grandfather personally isn't, like, he is an Aboriginal man from the Charleville area, but he's a bit of a skeptic, so... You know, he does tell us, growing up, he told us a lot about these stories, but he's very skeptical. Like, he doesn't really follow any of the, you know, the local beliefs, but that's not to say that his family doesn't. So, anyways, this, particular encounter I had was, located in central Queensland on the Landsborough Highway. In a town just outside a town called Morven. So I was working as a labourer on a civil mining camp located between Augathella and Morven in central Queensland. So I was located about an hour between both of those towns. And it was at the back end of 2012. And it just happened to be the 10-year anniversary the other day. Like, not even joking, it was literally the other day. I had the 10-year anniversary of this story. And to this day, I can still recount every single, like, second of this encounter. So, like, because we were working in Central Queensland, me and my younger brother Lyndon had a job out there. On this particular camp, there was no phone reception, so I had just recently, split up with my partner at the time. So, I took every chance I could to, chat to people on the phone, but I had to drive an hour up the road just outside of Morven. Just located, there was near the train tracks, there was this big dirt patch where we knew there was reception. So I drove all the way out there this one particular night. I can't remember exactly what date it was, but it was around November 2012. So I'm just trying to recount this properly. Contextual to the story, I was driving, a 2007 Rodeo, which I'd never, ever had a drama with. Like, I'd never had a problem with this ute. It had like 100,000 Ks on it, and diesel utes last forever. So this car has never not started, and that's contextual to the story. So I was on the phone to another ex of mine who I'd been split up with for like, 5 years, but she was a good friend of mine. So like I said, like, I took every opportunity to have a yarn on the phone whenever I could, because I was out on this camp for like 2 weeks at a time. I had no one to talk to. And I was sitting on the back of my ute in this dirt patch just near the train tracks outside of Morven in the pitch black. There was no moon in the sky. Like, so you could, like, there was like near no visibility. Like, you could barely see your hand. That's how dark it was. And I was yarning to her on the phone, and, we were pretty close. So, generally having a chat. And then all of a sudden, I was just looking off into the distance where the train tracks were located roughly. And I just seen this, like, this orange light, quite small. Just like traveling to the right of, the horizon, but I couldn't see the horizon, remember, so it's really dark. So where I think the horizon would have been, I seen this big orange light, no, small orange light, and as it kept moving to the right, I thought that maybe it was following the road, doing a really big bend around to the train tracks. And like, I thought it was a truck because of the color of the light was amber orange. And I thought, that's just a lot of lights, just into one blur, sort of like bokeh on a camera, like when your lens is out of focus. And I was just seeing it moving, and it was like slightly getting bigger in the distance. And I thought, that's just the truck. So I just kept watching it. I didn't think anything of it. And then it sort of came to a standstill, and I was like, all right, so this, the truck's taking a different direction and it's going to come towards me. Now, the big bend in the road. If I'm painting that picture properly, I keep watching it, and then it just stopped. And then I was like, I just didn't think anything of it. I was just talking on the phone, yarning away. And then it just started traveling to the right of the horizon, like really quick. And I thought to myself, geez, that's weird. Like, I was like, there's no road up there. That's all bush. But I didn't think anything strange at the time. And then it stopped on a dime. And then it started bouncing up and down, like zigzag, vertically, like erratically. And I thought to myself, nah, that's weird. And then it just, like, I can't even explain how quick it was. Like, it shot to the left, all the way to the other, like, all the way to the left of the horizon. And I was like, okay, that's weird. And that's at this point, I was on the phone to my ex, and I said to her, I said, that's really weird. Like, can you hold on a second? I can just see this light. And I can see something in the dark. And she's just like, I didn't actually mention to her that I seen a light, but because we're really close, she's like, oh, you can see one of those lights, can't you? And I was just like, how did you know that? like, how did you know I was looking at one of those lights? And she's like, oh, I just had a feeling. And I was like, man, this is getting weird. Like, it just kept bouncing up and down erratically. Then it, like, started, like, it didn't, like, go into the sky. Like, it was on the ground, like, level. And it just kept bouncing up and down erratically, vertically. And then it just kept going to the left, to the right, bouncing up and down. And I just got, like, really frightened. I didn't feel comfortable because I was out there by myself, and I was like, this is getting weird. Like, at that point, I knew that I was looking at a Minmin light. And then she's just, like, my ex was, like, talking to me, but I can't remember what she said. And I just, like, I just panicked, and I was just like, hey, you know, hey, Gemma, I've got to get out of here. I've got to leave. I'm getting freaked out. And then she's like, I can't remember what she said. I just rushed her off the phone. And then, like, this, I think it was just before I rushed her off the phone when I got really freaked out, this is the part of the story. Sorry if I'm being a little bit scattered. It's just a little bit, it's such a funny story to tell because it was so weird. But just before I rushed her off the phone, what had happened was, this is the part of the story that was really, it was like the one thing I've never heard before, like, anybody talk about with these Minmin lights or anything like that. But it like the light itself, it started to get bigger, and then another light, like a separate light, it didn't split in half, but another light came out of it. So another light came out of this big orange light, and it was like aqua blue. So if you look at, like, a color spectrum, like the negative color of that amber orange would be like aqua blue. It would be at the opposite end of the color spectrum. And that's when I really freaked out, and I was like, hey, Gemma, I've got to go. I'm getting freaked out. And it was just, like, at that point, like, I'd never been when that happened, I honestly felt pretty frightened. Like, I'd never been, like, frightened of, like, the unknown like that before. Like, you know, if I was getting chased by someone, I know what's happening next. Like, I know what to prepare for. Like, you know, if somebody's chasing me, like, a person, I know that they're probably going to attack me. I know how to prepare for that. But yeah, when this split into two, like, the orange light was getting bigger, and I was just like, man, this thing's getting closer. And then it just split into two lights. Like, I sort of felt like it recognized me. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, like it was aware that you were there.
Yeah, because, like, not only was it erratically bouncing and the light was getting bigger, but another light, like, come out of it. So, like, I'll explain why that's a significant part of the story, like, after I finish this story. But, like, so the next part of the story is when, you know, I try to get away. Like, I try to evade the situation. And, like, the contextual part of the story where I mentioned my ute, my 2007 Rodeo, is I never had a problem with it. When I jumped in my car, it didn't start. Like, it didn't start. I was turning the key. I didn't have a single bit of power from my battery. No dash lights, no starter motor, nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's when I freaked out. I mean, like, I was turning this thing and looking at this thing in my rear vision mirror parked. And I was just like, man, what am I going to do? And I'm just like, I'm literally, like, hitting my accelerator, turning my key, like, trying to get this to show any signs of life. And then all of a sudden, all my dash lights just came on, and I just, like, literally just unintentionally did this massive skid in the dirt. And I'm driving towards this road in the dark, and, like, my lights on my ute were, like, pretty average, because out, you know, in the desert where there's, like, no street lights and there's no moon, and I had these crappy orange lights on my ute, I'm trying not to run into the ditch. Like, that's on the side of the road, because, like, that area floods. So they got this big drain on the side of the road. And I had to find a little driveway so I didn't stack it into the drain. And, like, I'm trying to drive careful and fast at the same time. And I'm like, man, looking at these lights, and they're, like, erratically bouncing. They didn't get any bigger or closer from, you know, where I was before I tried to start my car. But like, man, they were there. Like that, I could tell how far they were because I knew exactly how far away those train tracks were from where I parked my car. And I'm going to say less than a K. I'm going to say those lights were less than a K from me.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Way less than a K. Like between 500 and 800 meters.
Yeah, that's really close, isn't it?
Man, I got on the road and I'm literally in second gear doing 110 Ks trying to get away. And in that piece of shit ute, like, you know, old ute, like it's a very good, reliable ute, but you know, 100 Ks in the second gear is ridiculous. And I could not get away fast enough. Like I was looking in the lights and they were just bouncing crazy. So I drove all the way back to camp. That was an hour drive in the dark, man. And there's kangaroos on this road. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying not to hit a kangaroo.
Yeah. Yeah, those country roads, they can be super dangerous because, you know, there's a lot of just loose cattle in those areas too.
Yeah, man. Yeah, like, definitely. And I know this because I work on that road, stretch of road every day. Oh, well, I did. So I got back to camp and I just happened to, like, so... I told my partner who I'm with now that I was going on this podcast, and because I told her this story years ago, because we've been together going on 8 years now, and she, like, when I originally told her this story, she was just like, "Hey, I know that story. I think you've told me that before." And she goes, "Hey, wait on. Just the other night," she said to me, she goes, "Oh," she goes, "you called me that night." So at some point of that night, I was so, like, panicking. She said that I actually rang her up when I got back to camp because I just sort of met her at the time. So this is back in 2012, 10 years ago. We've been together almost 8. So she said that I called her up and I was freaking out and I was, like, throwing up on the phone. And I don't even remember that detail. She's like, "Yeah, you rang me up that night and told me about it. And then you just started, like, throwing up on the phone." And I was just like, "Did I really?" She's like, "Yeah, you did." Because she said to herself, "Hey," she goes, "Hey, I know this story." She's like, "Hey, you rang me that night, actually." And, like, yeah, it was crazy. And I got back to camp and my brother was talking to these two other Aboriginal boys we were working with. They were also brothers on the camp. And they were just having a yarn outside of the... Their last name was Page. They were the Page brothers, we called them. They were just having a yarn outside the Dongers, and I must have just finished throwing up on the phone, and I just walked over to him and I was just like, "Hey, I just, you know," they were just having a yarn, and when it was my turn to speak, I was like, "Oh, I just seen something." And, you know, my brother being my brother, like, he doesn't really believe anything unless he sees it. He just dismissed it, and I sort of just, like, yeah, sort of just, like, forgot about it after that night. But, like, still to this day, like, I still I can still pretty much that's the end of the story. Like, I can recount, like, you know, a lot of it, but that, you know, the way I told that story probably sounded a bit scattered, but, like, you know, in my head, like, I can relive all those moments, like, pretty clear, like 10 years later. You know, I still remember exactly where I was and what it looked like and, you know, how it behaved and everything. And yeah, that was no truck, I'm telling you right now. Especially when that other light popped out of it, like, that's when I really shit myself then. That's when it all changed, when that light popped out.
Yeah, and you know what, it I think you did a really fantastic retelling of the encounter, because, you know, it was obviously something that was quite terrifying for you, and to kind of relive those moments, you know, they can be quite difficult to really kind of talk about them in a way that doesn't sound like you're kind of fabricating anything or anything like that. So, but the thing is, man, that is just like a play-by-play min-min encounter.
I was in a tight spot and everything became like tunnel vision. So, like, I was aware of everything that was going on and everything just stuck with me.
Yeah, absolutely. I can imagine the feeling that you're in, because I've been, like, in the outback when it's that dark, and you're right, you can barely see your own hand in front of you. And the thing is, man, I don't know about you, but I reckon there's a lot of spiritual energy out there. So
100%.
It's crazy to think that like these lights weren't there for you, because I very much have the impression that they were, because these things almost seem like they were trying to lure you to them, which is very much a kind of a bit of a folklore when it comes to the Min Min light, is that they kind of want you to follow them and lead you away into absolutely nothing. And now a quick word from our sponsor.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
No, man, I just, you know, sometimes like, you know, sometimes I think like, I don't know how many times I've relived this, you know, encounter. Like, it doesn't sound like much to people, you know, listening to this, or, you know, people who I tell the story to, like, it doesn't seem much. It just sounds like you're seeing lights. But when you're actually there by yourself and there's like nothing, for like the closest point of contact for me was an hour drive. That's how far away it was. An hour drive. That's like from here to the Gold Coast, you know? That's from Brisbane to the Gold Coast. That's ages. That's how far away my closest point of contact was. And I'm thinking, you know, anything could happen to me out here. Like, I don't know what that is or what they do. And, you know, a lot of people have their different views and stories about it. But, like, you know, the truth is, it is the unknown. And, you know, I think it's a very reasonable feeling for me to have to be afraid of the unknown.
Oh, mate, 100%. I think anyone in that situation would kind of have that same reaction, especially with your vehicle not turning on.
That specific part of the story, that no power to the vehicle. See, my phone was working, all right, so that's electronic, that didn't stop working, but my car didn't, right? My car didn't start, and I'm not even making that up. That's when I really panicked. I've heard that in other stories.
And the really spooky part of it is that it just started working. So it's kind of like, what was in control of making that car not work?
Man, if you listen to old Min Min light stories, there's stories of electronics not working. There's you know, when the lights get close, people have tell stories about their cars just turning off, like just dead in the water.
Yeah, definitely.
And I closely relate my experience to those stories, and that's when, like, you know, I you know, growing up, I heard these stories, you know, just bouncing lights and stuff like that. Like, I wasn't like I didn't ever think I was going to see one. You know, I didn't know if I ever wanted to see one. It just happened. You know what I mean? Like, I don't believe these are a certain anything. You know, folklore is one thing, but, you know, seeing it is another thing, and feeling it's another thing. Like, I, you know, man, I was frightened. That was no nice spiritual experience. Like, if other people think it was like that, because I didn't know what was going to happen. You know, I didn't have any preconceived ideas what it was, so I didn't know what to expect. So I just needed to get out of there.
Each of these encounters that people have with women, Min Min lights, always seem to be really, really kind of unique, because there's this kind of stereotypical one, which is kind of like the one that you experience, where, you know, they see this light out on the distance, and it's doing things that just doesn't really seem possible by like a car or a truck or a motorbike, like anything by like physics, that. Yeah, by
anything we can produce.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing.
And
in the most random time of the night.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's exactly it.
It was like about 9 or 10 at night, by the way. Like, there's, like, you know, it could have been a truck, you know, to start with. But when it started doing that other stuff, I'm telling you right now, it was no vehicle.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
No ways. No ways. I know what I saw. Hey, like, people might be like, oh, you know, it's this or that. I'm telling you right now, it was not a car. It was not a truck.
And that's the thing that's kind of been stigmatized with the Min Min Light, is that it is just so easy for people to say, no, mate, you just saw a truck, or you just saw a car.
They're so skeptical. Like, unfortunately, these people never experienced something like that. Unfortunately, I don't know what it was. I just know what we call that phenomenon. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what it is, but I experienced a phenomenon. I know what that was. Like, it fits the bill.
And what I really like about the Min Min, like, it's just so uniquely Australian, and even almost uniquely a Queensland-based phenomenon, the way it happens.
It is very Queensland. It's very Queenslander, and it is uniquely Australian. But something I do want to add to this story is, like, since this happened, like, over the last 10 years, I've always, like, had an open mind. And, you know, I listen to other Indigenous stories, particularly Native American, because we have a lot of... we have a lot of similarities, and, you know, just a lot of things. Like any other Indigenous people in Australia know what I'm talking about. Like, we see a lot of similarities with each other. So, like, when I listen to their stories, how they tell their stories, and, you know, stuff in their stories, they tell stories about lights too. And you know, I was listening and watching some of them, and I'm like, man, that sounds very similar to my encounter. Like, they have lights there too, but they don't know what they are either. They call them something completely different.
Yeah, over there, there's a couple of different kind of variants, and, like, I guess it's really region specific to what they call them. But, you know, like, will-o'-wisps, I think like spook lights is another name that they have over there. But yeah, it kind of seems like each culture kind of has their own version of this type of phenomenon. And I think that's actually fantastic, because it just kind of goes, it kind of shows that this whole world is somehow connected by this. I feel like there's this fine thread in the paranormal.
There is, 100%. And, like, you know, before this experience, you know, maybe between that experience and when I left high school, so I was about 23 at the time when this happened. You know, I was up at my, you know, in my, where I'm from in Torres Strait, I was on Thursday Island. And, I just remember being down on the wharf late at night, because that's sort of the, you know, the thing to do around there. Like, people go night fishing. And, one of my, you know, elders just happened to be doing, like, just doing his nightly walk, and he walked down to the wharf, and, you know, we were just there having a yarn. It was actually a beautiful moment. And, you know, he was telling us stories about lights that he used to see when, you know, they used to go out night fishing in the islands, you know, night spearing and all that sort of stuff. And he used to talk about, you know, how they believed that, you know, the green and the, like, he used to see green and red lights, you know, do all sorts of crazy movements. And, you know, when they'd be approaching an island and they'd see, like, a red light on the island, they'd know not to go out there. You know what I mean? Like, you know, he has his beliefs that, you know, the certain coloured lights would be, you know, good or bad sort of thing. And, you know, that's far north Queensland. So that's, well, it's off the tip of Queensland. But, you know, there's those stories just from that one man who was telling us. He's actually like my grandfather's uncle, so he's quite an old man, and he has a lot of stories. But you know, like, I see a continuity with all these stories. Like, they might be the same phenomenon, they might be different variants, maybe, but, like, you know, everyone's got these stories about these lights, and, you know, I don't know if I'm, I just don't know if I should feel privileged, or I, you know, I was, you know, I guess I'm lucky in a way, but, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm sort of just happy that I'm able to tell the story.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that's a really cool viewpoint to have, because a lot of people, and it really depends on their perspective, because, you know, a lot of people in the indigenous cultures, and not that I want to speak for them on their behalf, but, you know, they potentially see the Min Min as something quite dangerous that you don't really want to mess with. But the way that you kind of had your encounter is very much down that path of, like, there was a lot of fear kind of associated with it, but you came out of it with a almost a changed mindset about the goings on in Australia.
Yeah. Well, I'll just, like, I did leave out, like, a part of this story where, like, it's not like a critical part of the story, but, you know, I'll just add it in there just for the record. So, like, there was a point, like, when I got back to the camp that I do remember ringing my stepfather. So, my mum married this fella. He's my stepfather. His name's Will. I actually called him, and he's an Aboriginal man. And, you know, I told him what I saw, and, you know, he told me what his, you know, his views are on them. Like, and it's sort of like, fit the, you know, the build, the situation at the time. Like, I was, you know, going through a breakup, and he, you know, his views on it were like, sometimes, you know, these things you know, present themselves to you when you know, like, as it, like a, maybe, how do I say it, like a show of good faith sort of thing, like, there to help.
Yeah Like, it's a sign of change.
I'm telling you right now, I didn't feel like that. I'm telling you right now, like, you know, that's how, you know, some people's beliefs, but I didn't feel like that at all.
Would you ever want to see it again?
Oh, man. Hopefully, like, if I ever do experience this again, like, if I'm with someone and we can make that call at the time, but I don't want to, like, I just feel like now I've got too much to lose, because I have a 2-year-old daughter, and I don't want to ever, like, sort of jeopardize that, being a father to her. So I don't think that, like, you know, it's still the unknown. I don't know if it's going to mess with me mentally, or, I'd never put that at risk. Like, I, you know, where it might, you know, change the way I'm, you know, a father to my daughter.
Yeah, no, and so, I totally, you know, respect, I mean, that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And
so,
it's,
like, if I was, like, with somebody who, you know, who was very close to me, like one of my mates, like one of the boys, like, definitely not my missus, because, like, you know, one of us has to be there for our kid. But, you know, if it was really close with one of my boys, I'd be like, you know what, let's stick around for this. You know, like, we'll be fine together, but, you know, if I was with my missus, I'd say, let's go.
I get that. Like you said, you know, you're seeing something that is unknown, something that's uncategorized, and it at the end of the day, you know, it could potentially be something dangerous. We just cannot assume anything at the end of the day, because we don't know anything.
Yeah, man. And, you know, like what I mentioned with the, you know, with the stories of, the brothers and sisters over in America, you know, when they tell their stories, it's like, I feel like there's a continuity there, and I've always got an open mind to what it could be. So, you know, for a very long time, I've been trying to look for that one detail in anybody's stories. Like, anybody's stories I've listened to, like, I'm not, like, obsessed with hunting down, you know, a story that sounds like mine, but, like, you know, every now and then I do look for them, and, you know, that's how I ended up listening to this podcast, and because it was Aussie as well, you know. And I still to this day haven't heard of another light popping out of it, you know, the first light. And that's one thing that'll always stick with me. Like, I was just like, yeah, at that time, like, everything just came together at once. Like, you know, in that one moment, I thought to myself, I've never heard of that. What just happened? Let's get out of here. All at the same time. You know, all at the same time, man. Like, and, you know, while noticing that light just got bigger. And, you know, I associated with light getting bigger as getting closer.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
And, like, if I can just describe what the light looked like, so I just let all the listeners, like, sort of paint a picture in their head. Like, if you were looking through, like, a camera and you're looking through the lens and you defocused your lens and it was just a blurry light, like, you could literally do this out on the street to, like, a street light, and you just blurred that, defocus that lens, and you got a big blurry light. It was like in the distance, in the complete dark, it was like when it started getting bigger, it just, there was nothing in the middle. It was just a big defocused light, and no matter how much I try to squint my eyes and try and figure out what it was, it just stayed exactly the same, and it didn't have a fine edge around it. It was like, it wasn't rough either, but it wasn't like, it was like a blurry edge around the light. So, like, I could see it, but it wasn't clear. Like, it was still blurry, and it was not a solid color. It was like a neon color. Like, it was a light. Like, it was like a big blurry LED light. It was so bright, and it didn't illuminate anything on the ground or nothing like that. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't tell if it was touching the ground or not. And if I was to estimate the size of this light from the distance, it would be the size of a car.
Yeah, and you know what? All just the classic tropes of Min Min encounters that I've heard for decades, man. It's a truly fascinating encounter, and I thank you so much for coming on the show to share it there, Lewis. But before I let you go tonight, I have to give you a little bit of insight to something that, like, might give you a couple of answers about what you encountered. So a really good friend of mine, his name is Don Mears, and he's made a couple of documentaries called Australian Skies. Did one called Search for the Min Min, Australian Skies 3, Search for the Min Min. And if you haven't watched that, I'd recommend going and checking that out, because him and another friend of the show, Tilly Caldy, they go out there to film the Min Min and actually have an encounter with one. So that might be some really good food for thought there for you to have a look at that.
Because, that sounds triggering.
Yeah, man. watch it with a friend for sure. But I think it'd be great, because, you know, they kind of go out to that same region that you had your encounter in. So you might find a lot of similarities to the stories that they share on there to what you experienced.
Yeah, man. Like, definitely. I will suss that out.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Believe Paranormal and UFO podcast. If you have had an encounter and you would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. Finally, don't forget to follow us on all our social media outlets and be sure to join our Discord server to talk to other listeners of the show. You'll find all these links in our show notes. Thank you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.